we've talked a lot about cybersecurity and national security on this show, and it is time to talk about it again, because earlier this month, none other than Dan Coats, U.S. Director of National Intelligence, said this about the cyber threats the nation is currently facing.
It was in the months prior to September 2001 when, according to then CIA Director George Tenet, the system was blinking red. And here we are nearly two decades later, and I'm here to say the warning lights are blinking red again.
Yes, Dan Coats likened the current cybersecurity threat to the threat level the nation faced just before 9/11. Boston Globe technology and business reporter Hiawatha Bray joins us now with more. Hello, Hiawatha. How scared are you?
A little. I mean, I understand why people were taken aback by this. I was. I had to write about it. Because 9/11 implies thousands of people dead, and it's pretty hard to think of a cyber attack which alone could cause a sudden massive loss of life. But major cyber attacks extended over a long time and involving, say, the electrical grid, yeah, they could cause thousands of deaths. And we found out earlier this week just how bad it is. I'm sure you saw the report from the Department of Homeland Security. It was absolutely shocking. Hundreds of American electrical utilities have been compromised by hackers believed to have attacked through Russia, and compromised to the point where they could have turned them off.
Yeah. You know, we've talked to Joel Brenner, who was the former inspector general for the NSA. He's at MIT now. We've talked
to him.
Right. So, I mean, he's been talking about this for a long time. He's so worried. He wants us to take critical infrastructure like electrical grids off the public internet.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that idea, although even that wouldn't necessarily save the day. I mean, that's one of the things that's so spooky about the brilliance of people who are figuring out ways to hack these systems. We got into Iran's nuclear program. It wasn't on the internet. The Russians have figured out ways to get at our computers, like in Afghanistan, without going on the internet. You know what you do? You find some way to get somebody to plug a USB drive.
I was just going to say.
A computer that's not on the internet, and pow, it's infected. We've done that. The Russians have done that. Even not being on the internet isn't a foolproof solution.
Okay. So who do you think then are, or from your reporting, who are the biggest threats to American cybersecurity?
Well, basically, the names that always come up are Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. Just today, there was a report out in the Washington Post that said that despite promises to change its ways, the Chinese are continuing to use computer espionage to steal intellectual property from American businesses. They're still at it. And the Russians are, obviously, I don't know if you saw this last week, Microsoft announced last week that they have seen attempts to break into the political campaigns of at least three candidates in the midterm elections, coming out of Russia's GRU, their military intelligence wing.
Wow.
So it's really lively out there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm writing right now, I'm working on a story about people like this guy over at the Belfer Center at Harvard, Michael Sollmeyer, who thinks that what we're going to have to do is go on offense. We're going to have to find these hacker networks and start having the U.S. government deliberately attack them. So instead of just saying we got to build better firewalls and come up with better passwords, we're going to have to start taking these guys down. And of course, the scary problem that raises is the possibility that they'll hit back, and they can hit back a much larger target set than we might feel comfortable hitting.
But doesn't there seem to be a divide, though, in the seriousness with which aspects of the government are taking this threat? I mean, obviously, we have the intelligence community, Dan Coats, saying it's red alert. But then on the other hand, the Trump administration has eliminated the White House cybersecurity coordinator position.
Excellent point. And it's very confusing to a lot of people. There are several cybersecurity posts in this administration that have gone unfilled, and nobody can quite figure out why. I mean, even if you are with Trump, skeptical about Russian involvement in the election, I'm not sure why you would be, even so, nobody doubts that plenty of other companies are posing, or rather countries, are posing threats to the United States, and it is just not clear why the administration is as lackadaisical on this point as it apparently is. Some people are saying that they think they can just bring this into existing bureaucracies and make it work, so maybe that's true. I don't know, maybe that's what they're thinking. But it just seems hard to understand whether or not that's the way to go. And, I mean, as bad as things are getting, I think I'd want to have all hands on deck here.
Yeah. Now, we just got 30 seconds to go, Hiawatha. But in your story, you quote Gregory Tuhill. He's the president of Sixtera Federal Group. They work with government agencies on security. He said we're 9.5 years behind where we ought to be. So, again, we just got 20 seconds. How are we going to catch up?
I don't know how. I mean, you're not going to catch up. You're not going to achieve perfect security. The best you can do is patch as much as you can, and that's why this offensive idea has some charm to it. Some people think that the best thing you can do is when you see these attack networks, hit them hard before they can carry out even more dangerous attacks. We may have to come to that because building our own defenses is not going to solve this problem.
Hiawatha Bray, he writes about tech and business for the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Well, that's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Don't plug in the USBs that someone on the street hands to you. This is Radio Boston.